To obtain more information on the Christ Eternal Christian Church and its understanding of the Scriptures, log on to www.christeternalchristianchurch.com. The tape you are about to listen to is the first in the series that will explain what we see the Scriptures say and mean to the Christian Church today. We have found there are many misunderstandings that exist in the church today because of incorrect teaching and understanding of the Scriptures. It is suggested that you follow along in your Bible, and should the material be presented at too rapid a rate, that you use the pause button on your cassette player to catch up with my presentation. When a chart or drawing is used during the presentation, you should be able to obtain a copy of that graphic from the person who originally received this tape. If for some reason that is not possible, we would be happy to mail or email a copy of that graphic to you if you contact us using the title and number of the audio cassette. Our email address is ChristEternal@hotmail.com. There are a number of scriptures in the Bible that speak of a significant coming series of events that would be happening during the very near future of those to whom these events were being described. So significant are these events that an understanding of them has the potential of affecting how you interpret major portions of the Scripture. This topic has been come to be known by scholars as the subject of imminency in the Bible, and will be the topic I am going to be discussing on this tape. The Bible translation I will be reading from will be the King James Version. From time to time, I will use other translations, and I will let you know whenever I use another translation. The first scripture I'd like to look at is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. That scripture reads, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, when we read a scripture like that, there are a series of questions that we should always ask ourselves. The first one I see in this verse is, who is speaking? And the answer to that, if you look back at verse 24, we find that it's Jesus who's speaking. A second question we could ask is, who is he speaking to? What we want to find out here is, who is the you in the verse? And once again, if we look at verse 24 of that same chapter, we see that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Question three may be, who was it that was standing there? And here again, I think it's obvious to see that we're talking about the disciples. Question four that is raised in my mind is, what does the phrase, "which shall not taste of death," mean? To me, I see that saying that something was going to happen to at least some of them before they died. A fifth question would be, and what was going to happen before some of them died? And the last part of that verse gives us the answer. They would see the Son of Man, and that's Jesus, coming in his kingdom. Question six that I have about that verse would be, how many of us have believed that the kingdom has not yet come and will not come until Jesus comes back again physically? Now, I'm going to leave the answer to that question until a little later on. I'd like to now look at Matthew 24, verse 34. That verse reads, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I'm going to quickly go through my line of questioning when I read this verse. The first fact I see is that it's Jesus speaking again, and I obtain that information from verse 1. As far as who the you is in this verse, I see from verse 3 that once again it's the disciples. Also key in that verse is the fact that Jesus has mentioned this generation, which to me is very audience specific. He's talking about the generation of the disciples to whom he is speaking. And what is it that he said? He said that they shall not pass, they shall not die, until all these things be fulfilled. And to find the list of all the things that would be fulfilled in their generation, you would go back and read everything that was said prior to that statement made by Jesus. Matthew 23:36. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. That verse is also a very powerful imminency statement. Let's switch back now to Matthew chapter 10 and read two verses there, verse 22 and 23. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till a Son of Man be come. And analyzing these two verses, once again, we would like to know who the ye is in the verses. And if you look back at verses 2, 3, and 4, you will see that the 12 apostles are the ye. Secondly, he was telling them to go and preach the kingdom being at hand. This we see from verse 7. Third question would be the phrase to the end. Now that has significance. What that is telling me is that there is an end coming. And finally, the fourth question that I think is significant here is that what was going to happen is that before they could get to preach the gospel, which Jesus had commissioned them to go and do, in the cities of Israel, that Jesus, the Son of Man, was going to come back again. Now there is an eye-opener of a statement. Let's turn now to Matthew 26:64. Matthew 26:64. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Analyzing this verse, the hymn is of importance to us. Who is the hymn being spoken to? Verse 57 tells us that it's the high priest Caiaphas. Secondly, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man. This is saying that Caiaphas would see the second coming in his lifetime. And lastly, how would Caiaphas see the coming of the Son of Man? The verse tells us that he will be coming in the clouds of heaven, which is an expression that describes what is known by theologians of the parousia, the parousia, or parousia, however you want to pronounce that word. Those are that's the Greek word that describes the coming of Jesus Christ in the scriptures. Now, so far we've been looking strictly at the book of Matthew, But we'll find that Matthew is not the only writer that has imminency statements in his writings. Let's look at Mark chapter 13, verse 30. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. I think I'd also like to read that verse in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is it's a Bible translation, but what it does, it expands upon the meanings of each of the individual Greek words which were used to write the New Testament. So just look at how beautifully the Amplified Bible describes or narrates verse 30. Surely I say to you, this generation, the whole multitude of people living at that one time, positively will not perish or pass away before all these things take place. I think that's a very powerful rendition of what the Greek is saying there in Mark 13:30. The Apostle Paul also has a hand in this business of imminency. Let's turn to his book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 12. Paul writes, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Now, in future or subsequent tapes, we're going to talk about many of these issues in greater detail. But right now, I'd just like to point out that the reference in this verse to the day, Paul is talking about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is when the parousia was to take place. Also, something that's significant there is the two words, "let us." Now, Paul is speaking to the Romans. So, "let us" is a personal invitation to the Romans at that time that he was speaking to, and naturally Paul includes himself in that statement, "let us." Now, when we date the books of the Bible, scholars, there's a lot of variance in when they think different books of the Bible have been written. But generally speaking, the book of Romans was written about AD 57. We also, as we go deeper into this study, are going to find that the parousia took place in AD 70. So in fact, you can see here that Paul is in anticipation of something, this event, that was to take place approximately 13 years after he wrote the book of Romans. I'd also like to read that verse in the Amplified Bible, Romans 13:12. "And so each of us shall give an account of himself." I'm sorry. That's chapter 14. Let's go to chapter 13, verse 12. "The night is far gone, and the day is almost here. Let us then fling away the works and deeds of darkness, and put on the full armor of light." You can see the intenseness of the imminency that Paul is speaking of in that particular verse in the Amplified Bible. Let's move to another book written by Paul, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 5. Paul writes, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And that verse in the Amplified reads, "Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon." The book of Philippians was probably written about AD 58, a year after Romans. So here we're looking at about a 12-year time frame between the AD 70 return of Christ. In addition to the gospel writers that we've looked at already and the Apostle Paul, we also find that James also has an imminency statement. And that would be in James chapter 5, verse 8. James writes, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And he amplified, "So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near." We can also look at Peter. Start with, let's look at 1 Peter 4, 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." And he amplified that same verse. "But the end and culmination of all things has now come near. Keep sound-minded and self-restrained and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer." 1 Peter 4, verse 17. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" That verse in the Amplified Bible. "For the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not respect or believe or obey the good news, the gospel of God?" Moving on now, let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. "Little children, it is the last time." I might make a note here. Actually, that word "time" in the King James should be translated "hour" to give you the real sense of imminency in that verse. "Little children, it is the last hour. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And again, that last word in that verse, more accurately, should be translated "hour." Let me read that verse in the Amplified Bible. "Boys, lads, it is the last time, hour, the end of this age. And as you have heard that the Antichrist, he who will oppose Christ in the guise of Christ, is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen, which confirms our belief that it is the final, the end time." The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." And he amplified, "For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay." My goodness, how have we been so misconceived in the church to think that here we are over 2,000 years later and we're still waiting for Christ to come? And here we can see from this verse and the previous ones that we have read that imminency was present during the time that these books were written. Now, the working out of all of this is going to be an interesting study that you and I will do together if you continue to listen to these tapes. What I'd like to do, though, is coming with the tape, you should have two paper figures or graphics. And the first one is in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see figure 3. And it's entitled "Imminency in the Bible." And what I've done on here is to just give a general overview of this entire topic of imminency in the Bible as it finds its roots in the Gospels. So on the left-hand side of that chart, you'll see the expression, "This generation shall not pass away." And we find that that expression is contained in Matthew 24:34, Mark 13:30, and it's also in Luke 21, verse 32. Another major statement that we've already covered is "some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see." And that scripture, or that phrase, or part of a verse, comes out of Matthew 16, verse 28. So these are just a partial listing of what Jesus said, and does not include what Paul, Peter, James, and John said about this topic of imminency. Now, in the center of the chart, you'll notice that what I've written there is the following. What things would those people being spoken to in these passages see, and what things would be fulfilled in their lifetime? And finally, in the right-hand column on that chart, I've listed a number of these. The first one, "The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Matthew 16:27. "They will see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Matthew 16:28. "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." This is a statement taken from Matthew 24:2, where Jesus was speaking of the Jewish temple and how it would be destroyed in their lifetime. "Many would be deceived." Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. "Ye," those he was speaking to, "shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Matthew 24, verse 6. "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are but the beginnings of sorrows." Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. I think you can see that from this chart that we indeed have a very exciting and interesting eye-opening study ahead of us. Let's move on, however, to figure 11. At the top of that chart, what I've entitled it is that these are what were the first century followers of Christ were expecting. What was it that they were expecting? "The end of all things is at hand." 1 Peter 4:7. "The fullness of the time was come." Galatians 4:4. "The time is fulfilled." Mark 1:15. "These things happened unto them upon whom the ends of the world..." Now, that word "world" in the Greek is the Greek word aeon, and properly translated, and I think the New King James actually does this, they have changed that word "world" to "ages," and that is a proper translation of that world, that word. So really, this verse should read, "happened unto them upon whom the ends of the ages are come." 1 Corinthians 10:11. "For there be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Luke 21:22. "The time is short." 1 Corinthians 7:29. "For the fashion, the outward form of this world passeth away, is passing away." 1 Corinthians 7:31. "It is the last time, or the last hour," 1 John 2:18. Now, what these scriptures indicate is that something of extremely significant importance had grown very short, and the people that lived during that time were in fact aware of this especially the church, those in the church, for the writers of the gospel and the epistles. And this material was being circulated about and also being preached by word of mouth to those in the church. They had this expectation. And that expectation is not something we will find that we're looking forward to today, because we are actually looking back at the occurrence of all of these issues. I think from the material I have just presented, you can see that the topic of imminency in the Bible warrants our attention and serious consideration if we are to be serious students of the Word of God. What I plan to do is to make a series of tapes that will continue on this topic, looking deeper into the various facets of this material and applying it to our study of the overall message of the Bible. I encourage you to be like the Bereans that are mentioned in Acts 17:11, who searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul had told them were true. I am convinced that if you do so, you will see to a greater depth than ever before that Christ in you is your hope of glory, as stated by Paul in Colossians 1:27. Now that should put a big smile on all of you that are listening to this tape.